Well, we are once again pleased to welcome live in studio this morning, 6th District Republican Congressman Ben Klein. He joins WFIR anchor reporter Gene Moreno and me to talk about a bill he just introduced dealing with veterans and small business. We'll also touch on a few other current topics. First up, Congressman, good to see you again.
Good to see you, Joey. How's everything going?
It's going well. Thank you for coming back. And before we talk about H.R. 4333, a few quick hits, Congressman. First, the skinny infrastructure bill may be headed to the Senate for debate today, actually. So what's the status on the House counterpart, and are you likely to support the current infrastructure bill version?
Well, I hope to. It's just a question of what's in it. And one of the frustrating things about Senate negotiations is you really don't see it until the very end. And so this language hasn't even been released yet. We want to know how it's paid for. That's the most important thing, because we don't want to have more deficit spending like the Democrat leadership is doing here this week on the floor with these appropriations measures. So it's hopeful that we get an infrastructure measure that focuses on roads and bridges, core aspects of transportation, and not a lot of wish list liberal items on the part of the left. If that happens and it comes over from the Senate and everything lines up fine, then I hope I can support it.
I know that Congressman Morgan Griffith was here last week, and he said that a lot of it wasn't even on paper yet.
Right. So right. It's frustrating. And that's the way the process works. There's a lack of transparency that we're trying to open up. And you know, I'm in the Problem Solvers Caucus, and we are working with the senators who are trying to negotiate this agreement. And so I do know a little bit about shifting over COVID money and repurposing it. And that is one of the pay-fors. And so if we can get there, I hope we can.
A little close to the mic.
Yeah.
Another question. COVID infection rates, Congressman, rising again. A Trump-era official said yesterday on CBS that we could be headed back towards safety protocols again in the fall unless more people get vaccinated. Almost everyone getting sick or dying now is unvaccinated. Republican Governor and Senator George Allen came out yesterday and said, put the politics aside, go get vaccinated. Do you agree with that, and do you urge people to get vaccinated?
Yeah, you know, it's a personal choice. So it's up to everybody to determine what's best for them and their families. But I've been vaccinated, my family. I'd encourage folks to get vaccinated, because that's the way we're going to open back up as an economy. Schools get open back up. We can stop wearing these masks and you know, flip-flop Fauci can stop getting on our TV screens. I want to get past this as quick as we can. And so that's one of the reasons I encourage people to get vaccinated.
All right, and we'll talk with Congressman Ben Klein. Former President Trump was in Arizona last week and alleging again that the election was rigged, despite dozens of court cases brought where no evidence was found of widespread systematic fraud. I'm just wondering, as a member of the party, Congressman, is it time for this many Republicans and political leaders in the party to say, "Hey, we didn't like the outcome, but the election was fair, and let's focus on the future"? Is it time to move forward?
I do agree that we need to look forward. We've got a governor's election starting here in about 6 weeks, really, is when early voting starts. And I feel good about Glenn Youngkin's chances. I feel good about us taking back the House of Delegates. You know, for folks out there who are furious at what the Biden administration is doing to this country, what Nancy Pelosi is doing in the House of Representatives, your chance is coming real soon. You're going to get the chance to have your voice heard and get some representation in Richmond that's going to actually fight for you.
But let me ask you before we toss it to Joey, is President Trump's focus on the election and the alleging that it's rigged, is it maybe draining focus away from members of the party on other issues they really need to be paying attention to, and maybe, you know, future candidates?
Not in my view. I think that when you talk to folks out there, what they're saying is they're infuriated by the lack of integrity in our election system, and they want to see action in Richmond to shore up election integrity. These new laws that were put in place by Richmond to create things like unmonitored drop boxes and wider windows, you know, those were the laws that were abused by judges in Arizona, by election officials in Pennsylvania, and led to the unconstitutional acts in those states that invalidated their electoral count, in my view, and led to the reason that I voted to challenge those electors. And so for those reasons, we need to shore up our election laws. We can have laws that encourage people to get registered and increase people registering to vote legally while still shoring up our election laws. We need to do both.
Before I go to Joey, I know the Constitution really the Constitution of the U.S. really puts a lot of onus on the states to come up with their own election system. Is that the best way to do it, Congressman? Or do you think that there needs to be some more of a federal guideline? Because that would probably mean a constitution change.
Well, as a federal system, you know, where we have a balance between the states and the federal government, I like the balance that we have. I do think that the states need to come up with their election laws. We don't need a top-down, federally run system, because that's where you get that risk of foreign governments coming in and causing problems in our systems. And that's why a grassroots-based voting system with strong electoral integrity laws is the way to go.
All right, 10 before the hour, 8:50 at WFIR, 6th District Republican Congressman Ben Klein in studio with us. And Congressman, last week you and two co-sponsors introduced H.R. 4433, the Veterans Entrepreneurship Act of 2021. It would allow veterans the opportunity to pursue their small business and entrepreneurial aspirations. So Congressman, why introduce this bill, and is this an untapped resource?
Well, the GI Bill has done so much for so many for so long. It's a great opportunity for folks who have served this country for us to give back and them to get an education. But what we've seen is over the past couple of decades, veterans want more coming out of their service. They want to be able to either pursue a business opportunity, an entrepreneurial opportunity. They don't feel that four-year college is exactly what they need. So this bill gives them more options. What we've seen is over the past decade, while small business startups are up about 8%, veteran-owned small business startups are down about 24%. And that's a problem, because veteran-owned startups are some of the best run. You know, the chain of command is great. They're run very efficiently, very effectively by people who are used to being in the military. So what we need to do is encourage more of that. So this bill would allow a pilot program for veterans to use their GI Bill to either buy a franchise, start a business, get a startup after going through an entrepreneurial training course.
So it's a three-year pilot program overseen by the SBA, would train up to 250 GI Bill benefit eligible veterans to pursue that educational training. If this is successful, Congressman, do you see this being rolled out on a wider scale? And is that the reason for the pilot program? You want to get it right?
Absolutely. You don't want to just have money flowing out and not have accountability in the system. So you want to make sure, A, that the SBA runs it according to certain strict guidelines, and then also you have a training program in place for the veterans to actually get the skills they need so that once they hit the ground running, starting their business, that it is a successful business and that their GI Bill benefits go to good use. It's not just a fly-by-night start, you know, a veteran getting out and getting a chunk of money and saying, I want to use this money to go do something that I haven't laid the groundwork for. You want it to be successful, because ultimately this is going to be another incentive for folks to go into military service. The GI Bill has been a great incentive for people thinking, well, do I really want to join the military? These GI Bill benefits are a great incentive. What about this option to start up a business? Why not? And that might bring some people into the military too.
It sort of makes sense, especially if you're in the military. Let's say you get out, you're in your mid-20s, late-20s, and maybe you don't have the time to devote to a four-year school, but you've got a good business idea, you've got good common sense. And now they have to put together a business plan that has to be approved by an advisor and the SBA, have serious ideas, VA. So this is, you're looking for some serious people.
Actually help them take a good idea and put it into practice. You know, if they're serving overseas, if they're serving in Afghanistan, or if they're serving in another country, get a good idea, come across something with the military, with a contract that they've been in, they've witnessed something that's not working that could be improved in a military contract. Well, they can get out, they can start a business, and who knows where it can lead.
We're talking with Congressman Ben Klein. I'm just wondering, is it possible that the Veterans Entrepreneurship Act of 2020, would it possibly be rolled into another larger bill like the budget down the road?
Oh, sure. And those big budget bills are the ones that are what we call must-pass bills. So at the end of the day, as we're trying to pass it separately, if the opportunity arises in this must-pass bill, they say, well, let's go ahead and try this startup program. I'd be happy to get it done that way too. Unfortunately, everything is being done by rolling it all together, and that's what we're going to see this week in appropriations with this ridiculous spending bill that Pelosi is pushing through.
And which bill is that? Talk about the larger
So she's
America
taking,
Family Plan?
No, she's taking about half of the 12 appropriations bills, combining them all together. And remember, you know, on appropriations, we just 2 weeks ago passed all the appropriations bills out, ranging from 10% increases for the legislative branch to a nearly 30% increase for education and health and human services departments. This is a gargantuan increase in spending at a time when we see inflation rising, prices going up, people are getting irritated with their tax dollars being wasted. They want to see accountability. And this week, we're going to see waste on a level not seen in a long time.
What are the odds that the Republicans in the minority can stop it?
In the House, very slim, because we still have this unconstitutional proxy voting where we have a dozen or so Democrats sitting at home on their couch watching Oprah casting votes or having votes cast for them by other Democrats here up in Washington. And that is a practice that must end, because it violates the constitutional requirement that a quorum be present to perform its legislative duty, and Congress is in violation of that with that rule.
Was that a COVID era thing? Okay, it is. Okay, so there's no sunset on it at this point?
Right. And so while we only have a 5-seat difference between Democrats and Republicans, they win by 5 votes every time, because they have proxies on the floor for these dozen or so or 24 Democrats who just don't want to come to Washington but still want to collect a paycheck.
By the way, let me ask you again about your Veterans Entrepreneurship Act of 2021. Do you have bipartisan support for it? Do you see that you could get support in both chambers for something like that, especially if it's a pilot program?
Yes. Lou Correa, a colleague of mine in the Problem Solvers Caucus from California, is my lead Democrat co-sponsor. But this type of program does attract bipartisan support. And so the two bills that I've introduced so far with Problem Solvers have a better chance of passing, because it is still Nancy Pelosi's house. As much as we might like to take the gavel away from her next November, we've still got to deal with her leadership and her chairman of her committees through the process this year.
Mm-hmm. It's about a minute or so left, but I think I read that Senator Mitch McConnell does not want to raise the debt limit, the debt ceiling.
Mm.
What's your feeling on that? And it's something that always seems to happen pro forma, but what does it mean if you don't raise the debt ceiling?
Well, a default on the debt would be catastrophic. So it has to get done, but the Democrats are controlling the House, the Senate, and the White House. So if they want to get it done, which I assume they will, we would like to see in exchange some more controls on spending and getting our entitlement programs under control, a path to a balanced budget. These are all things that we talk about, but we never really get an ear from the Democrats. Well, they're listening now because they want our help in passing this debt ceiling increase. And at this point, I'm still looking for somebody to say, yeah, we'll negotiate with you on this fiscal responsibility aspect of it.
Right. In other words, pare down a bill or appropriations bill if we're going to pass the debt ceiling.
Yeah. Or pass a budget resolution that actually shows balance in 10 years. That's what the Republicans put forward. That's what I put my name on, is a budget committee resolution to balance the budget in 10 years. The Democrats need to come to the table on that if we're going to continue to increase the debt to these levels where our kids and our grandkids are going to be paying on the debt, and it's going to be constricting other areas of the budget for decades to come.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there. Sixth District Congressman Ben Klein, always good to see you, and thanks for joining us this morning.
Thanks, Gene. Thanks.